Hello, everybody, and welcome to That's My Purse podcast, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, how's your past week been since our last recording?
Man, very uneventful. I really didn't do much this past week. I guess I'm just getting ready for the future. Not like the way future, but the summer. There's a lot of conventions starting back up, and I feel like I'm ready to travel. So just trying to budget myself for going to California like 3 times.
Yes, California. Well, the good news is, like, in general, from Austin, flights to like LA and, well, yeah, LA and SF are relatively cheap, as well as San Jose. San Diego, I'm not too sure because I've never done that flight before, but I'd imagine it's not as bad as some of the other places.
I don't get flying. I'm actually flying to Indiana next month, or whenever May is. Whenever you're listening to this, whenever Doctor Strange is coming out, I'm flying to meet some friends to go see it. Why? I don't know, but I never understood how airlines determine prices. If I fly out Sunday night, it's $200. But if I fly out Monday evening, it's $80. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've heard, what's annoying is I've heard like some podcasts or stuff about how they explain how airlines are priced out. So I feel like I should know, but I'm just drawing a blank right now on what it's supposed to be. But I don't know. Like, there's some algorithm based on, you know, gas costs, fuel costs, how many people are on the flight, how many people are coming back, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's way above my pay grade to figure out how that works.
Yeah, I'm always trying to scoop the best deal on a ticket, but I feel like I'm never at the right moment.
What I usually do, and there's probably a better app nowadays, but I used to use an app called Skyscanner. And you can just like put in generic time frames of when you would like to go and when you would like to return. Do it like a month in advance or something. And then it will send you daily updates on what the prices are. So then I could like say, oh yeah, today is cheaper than it was last week. Let me go ahead and buy it now. Of course, the danger there is that you always think, oh, well, maybe it'll be even cheaper next week. So let me wait a little bit longer and then it's never cheaper again. So then you're like, why didn't I just buy it when it was the right price?
Yeah, I'm debating whether to shell out the extra $100 to fly during the day. I've never flown overnight before. So I don't know what's up. I mean, it's going to be like a normal flight, but is it going to affect me too much?
Yeah, I've done some red eyes before, not a ton, but I've done a few. They're not terrible. They're not great either. It just depends on how you like things, or I guess it also just depends on what your plans are. You know, obviously, I don't know about you. I don't sleep well on planes. I never have, no matter how much Benadryl or whatever I take. I never feel well rested after a flight. I think that might be by design. Maybe it's just how my body works. Who knows? So, like, if you're thinking, oh, well, no worries. I'll just get a nap in on the plane, and I'll be ready to go for the next day. Unless you're the type of person who sleeps well on planes, you know, red eyes can kind of stink because you'll be tired, like, the first half of the day that you arrive and want to sleep or need to sleep. Otherwise, you know, if you're the type of person who just has a lot of energy or can take a nap or can sleep on a plane, then it's fine.
I will see. We'll see. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, I'd make it. I don't know. That sounds ominous. I don't know.
Yeah, I always try to get there. I always try to get there whenever I can. I've always been a fan of early morning flights. Not necessarily because I like waking up early, but it's more like I just want to get it over with. Like, I don't want to be sitting around at home waiting until noon to jump on or to get like an Uber or whatever to the airport and then sit and wait for the flight and stuff. It's like, I just want to get it over with. I want to wake up, jump in an Uber with my bags, go to the airport and continue with my day.
I understand that feeling. I also hate waiting at the airport. I hate getting there too. I need to find the right time, you know, where I can make it through security and get to the gate, and maybe like 20 minutes later we're boarding. I don't like waiting at the airport for like an hour and a half.
I don't mind it so much. It depends, because I'm also like borderline paranoid on some things, where I'm like, I always feel like something bad's going to happen and I'm going to miss my flight. So I've always like, oh, I got to get there early. But then you also want to get there too early, because it's not like airports are fun. It's not like, oh, I can do, there's a bunch of stuff that I could do at the airport that's going to be great. At least not airports in America. Airports in some other countries actually have some nice things. But yeah, so I gotta have to do that balancing act where I'm like, I want to get there early so that I can breathe and not worry about possibly missing my flight due to some crazy car accident or something. But at the same time, I don't want to stay there too long.
Yeah, that and layovers. Those are things I hate about flying.
I agree. I always try whatever I can, unless it's like super expensive or whatever. I try to do direct flights as much as I can, because I just hate layovers. Sometimes you can't get around it, and that's fine. But if I can get around doing a layover, I will absolutely get around doing a layover.
Oh, man. Yeah, I hate layovers. This is the last thing I'll talk about flights, but if I'm ever on a flight, well, you will never know, I guess, listeners, but if I'm on a flight by myself and I'm sitting next to a stranger, I will lie about my life to make it just like, I'll be like, I'm a different person. I have a different life. I just like, because I'm like, I'll never see this person again. So I like to just be like, oh yeah, I think one time I said I was a pro gamer, and it just kind of, it makes my day more interesting. It makes the flight more interesting.
Fair. I've never done that. I can say with some confidence that I have never done that. I actually don't usually talk to the people next to me when I'm flying. It's not that I'm like antisocial or whatever. It's just like, I don't know. I never really enjoy the flying experience. So I'm never like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. Let me have a conversation with somebody. But you know, sometimes I'll sit next to somebody interesting and I want to chat. Like even when I'm sitting next to a friend, I don't chat on the plane. Same thing with Ubers. I don't chat when I'm like in an Uber or whatnot. If the driver chats me up, then I'll start talking. But in general, I'm just like quiet.
Oh, I'm a talker. So I like to talk. Unless you got your headphones in. If they got their headphones in or they're reading, then it's like, those are the signs that I'm in my own zone.
That's one of my pet peeves. I feel like that is, like, headphones in is the universal don't talk to me symbol. And people who still want to chat with you, like, I get it when there's something important or like, hey, I'm going to make dinner. Do you want anything? Or, you know, something important like that. But when it's just somebody who just wants to chat with you when you have your headphones in, it's like, this is the universal don't talk to me symbol.
Yeah, so basically this week has been full of looking for flights, but how was your week?
All right, I had to cut my ski trip a little short because I've had a fun fall, but other than that, I'm all right. It was pretty fun. I had a friend visit from out of town, and we were having some fun checking out things. I think it's been a few years since he's been in this area, so yeah, I overall had a fun week and weekend.
Nice. You take him to a lot of bakeries? Oh, San Francisco bakeries. That's where it's at.
They are pretty awesome. We have some amazing bakeries. There are some pretty good bakeries in Austin, too. You know, don't sell Austin short.
I feel like that's just... I feel like I'm like that with every city, where I'm like, oh, I fantasize of the other city. But I think people do that about Austin, too. Like, the barbecue here, and just mm-hmm. like the Tex-Mex food we have. So, you know, it goes both ways.
Yeah, even the worst barbecue in Austin is better than anything you could find in California.
Maybe. I've never had barbecue in California, so I'm usually getting a street taco when I'm there.
It's all right, I guess. I mean, it's not terrible, but it doesn't hit the spot the same way Texas barbecue does. Like, it's almost like, it's like, oh, I need, like, it's been 2 years since I've had barbecue. I need my fix. And so you eat it, but you don't really like it. But yeah, I think we've talked a lot. It's almost like a Jerry Seinfeld bit or something talking about airlines and food and stuff. we could probably jump into the podcast now, or the episode rather. Let's see here. So today we are going to do Bobby Goes Nuts. Like we said, we're not doing it in any particular order. It's not like we're doing episode one, episode two, episode three, since King of the Hill is one of those shows that is more of a slice of life show rather than being linear, where you need to watch one episode followed by the next for it to make sense. And also, you know, people are might be wondering, why is this called That's My Purse? Or there might be King of the Hill fans who know exactly why this is called That's My Purse. And this episode will answer the question. So we will talk about Bobby Goes Nuts. And a fun fact about this episode, it is the first fully featured digital coloring, or the first episode to fully feature digital covering. So, you know, I remember when I first saw this episode, I thought it looked weird. And I guess that was the reason why, because they were using a different type of coloring. But, you know, it guess now it like grew on me and it looks much cleaner than the old way. So let's start the episode. Connie is having a sleepover with some of her girlfriends, you know, and as I guess middle school girls do. Bobby and Joseph want to watch, as teenage boys do. Joseph makes some kind of comment about how he wants to use his dad's thermal goggles to see their body heat signatures or whatever, in a very creepy way, but whatever. Joseph being Joseph, I guess. Connie's parents require everyone to sign a waiver and go to bed early, making the sleepover something of a bust. Which, I don't know about you, like, have you ever... I remember sleepovers back in the day. And I don't know that I ever had anybody require me to sign a contract.
Well, I would definitely sign a contract if there was a free continental breakfast in the morning.
I guess so. But isn't that kind of, well, maybe not a continental breakfast, but isn't that kind of a given that when you're in a sleepover, you're going to eat breakfast at their place? Like, who just sends the kid home once they wake up?
Oh, man. I've been to a few sleepovers in my day. I mean, I guess a little fun, I don't know if it's a fun fact or a sad fact about me, but when I was in like, maybe from kindergarten to like second grade, I get really homesick, so I could never do a sleepover. I would go until the sleeping part, and then I would leave.
That is kind of sad, but it is funny too.
But, you know, I grew out of it and just kind of, because I always have a, even as an adult, I have a hard time falling asleep not in my bed.
Yeah, even with me, I have the same thing. Like, at a hotel, it's weird sleeping.
And then my mind just races. But, you know, these girls, no problem with the sleepover. I guess the only problem is the sleepover is super boring.
Yes. The sleepover is a bust. And, you know, since they're next door neighbors, Connie asks Bobby to come over and entertain everybody, because, you know, Bobby's a funny guy. He makes jokes and stuff. So Bobby crawls out of his window, goes across the hedges, and then crawls in through Connie's window, and his shirt catches a nail and kind of rips. And so, you know, in the kind of fun way young people, even old people for that matter, do, they're like, oh, you know, have a strip show or something. So Connie puts on music, and Bobby does like an impromptu striptease, takes off his shirt, dances around. Then all of a sudden, Chain Wasana Song shows up, who is the like one of the only other Laotian families that we see, the Wasana Songs, and he's the son of Ted Wasana Song, who is like the, I guess, big industrialist, super rich, and it's clear that Khan is always sucking up to them. Anyway, he shows up because one of Connie's friends mentioned to him that he's having, or that she is having a sleepover. He and his buddies climb in the window and make fun of Bobby's weight. A small fight breaks out, and then Khan shows up due to the commotion. Khan is initially shocked because there's boys in there until he realizes one of the boys is Chain Wasana Song. And he asks, you know, hey, is your dad still on the membership committee for Nine Rivers Country Club? And he's like, yeah. So then he tells Bobby to climb out the window and leave. But then he allows Chain and his friends to leave using the door. Once outside, Chain and the group threaten to fight Bobby. And they really give Bobby a choice. Like, hey, we won't fight you if you leak dirt. And so Bobby pretends to eat dirt, which isn't satisfactory, and they beat him up. Bobby calls for Hank, but Hank is passed out and does not hear the commotion.
Is it
so a lot of things to unpack there.
Is it weird that Chain Wasana-san is there? He doesn't even live on this street. I feel like that should raise concern with Gahan.
Yeah, that's true. He lives like in one of the upscale neighborhoods of Arlen. So, and he's like underage. He, in terms of driver's license, like he's 12 or 13. So did his parents drop him off? Did they walk? Did they bike over? That's kind of weird.
It is funny, though, that Khan is like, Bobby, out the window, but you guys feel free to use the door.
Yeah, and it's clear that, and it shows up a lot in the season, and a lot in the series, rather, that Khan and Min, for to some extent, are always trying to kiss up to the Wasana songs, because it's one of those things where they want to keep up with the Joneses, and they kind of see the Wasana songs as their ticket in to the elite life. So, you know, being nice to Chain, they figure that will help them get in good with Ted. But yeah, and then of course Bobby gets beaten up. I don't know about you. I was never really, I don't know if I was just super lucky or people just didn't find me worth it or whatnot. I don't think I was ever really beaten up in middle school. Or maybe I just pushed the thoughts back.
I was never beaten up, but I guess another fact about me was my friends and I used to play this game where we would try to throw each other off a trampoline. Like two people would get on trampoline and you would have to throw the other person off the trampoline. So I don't know if that's, we never, it wasn't like we were angry at each other. We just were violent children.
Yeah, that's just like normal boy stuff when you're being violent for to each other and playing games where somebody breaks an arm. That's like just normal boy things.
But I was never forced to eat dirt.
No, neither have I. I've never been forced to eat dirt, thankfully. Now, granted, maybe there's still time for that to happen. But yeah, and then, of course, Bobby tries to get out of the fight, but, you know, tries to talk his way out of the fight. It doesn't work out. He yells for Hank. Hank doesn't respond because Hank's passed out. And, yeah, then moving forward, we see Bobby coming into the house, and he's all scuffed up. He's covered in dirt. He's not wearing his shirt, of course. And, you know, Hank's curious what's going on, and he tells Hank about what happened, and Hank's, you know, kind of resigned, and he's like, oh, let's go get some ice. And then Bobby suggests that Hank go out and beat up Chain's dad. Hank is like, he doesn't want to fight Bobby's fights anymore, which is kind of funny because he brings up which couldn't have been that long ago, because he's like, remember when you were 10 years old and I had to save you from that girl who beat you up in the playground? Well, I'm not going to fight your fights for you anymore. And then Bobby's like, well, I don't, what can I do then? What happens when I get fought? And we'll get into a fight. And Hank says, you know, go to the YMCA and take a boxing class. That's what Hank did. So Bobby does just that. He heads to the YMCA, signs up for a boxing course, or at least tries to sign up for a boxing course. Apparently it's full, and they put him on a wait list. Bobby insists that he needs some kind of course. Like, at this point, he's just terrified of the fact of getting beaten up again. So he's just like, put me in something. And so they put him into a woman's self-defense course. Before we jump into what happens at the women's self-defense course, I want to point out, like, Hank's demeanor there. That's, like, some old-school Texan stuff right there. Like, I guess we grew up in the generation where you would get expelled or whatnot from school if you got into a fight. You were supposed to tell the principal if somebody was bullying you or whatever. But, you know, if you go back to, say, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and I'm not necessarily saying it's the good old times, but back in those days, like, if you had a bully, you either dealt with it, like them bullying you, or you fought them. And that was kind of expected. Like, yeah, you were able to step up to the bully and fight them, and it was, nobody got in trouble with the law or had to go to be expelled or anything like that. And I think Hank comes from that generation where he's just like, oh man, my boy needs to be able to take care of himself. And if he's getting beaten up, that's not a good thing. He's not a real man.
I don't know, though, if it's happening often with Bobby. But you don't see it a lot in the show where Bobby's getting super harassed and he's got... I mean, he gets picked on a lot, but he can kind of wiggle his way out of it. I feel like this is an extreme case, though. He was forcing dirt. I feel like that's something like you talk to a parent about.
Yeah, that was an extreme thing, but yeah, Bobby was did not get much sympathy from Hank. I mean, I guess he did in his own way. Like, Hank did get him ice, and Hank did suggest he go to the Y to learn how to box and defend himself, but not super, super sympathetic there.
And I didn't know, I've only been to the Y like a few times in my life, basically just kind of use the exercise equipment. But do they have like classes there? Am I missing out on awesome classes?
I haven't been to the Y in many, many, many years, but when I was in elementary school, I took swimming courses there. So, you know, take that for what you want.
I already know how to swim. Maybe this is a research assignment for myself.
Yeah, there's a few Y's in Austin, if I remember correctly.
But I definitely want to take this class that Bobby took.
Yes. So he goes into a women's self-defense course. He's clearly the only man there. Well, there is another man there, but he's clearly like the dummy or the assistant or whatnot. So he's the person that everybody's going to be beating up on. You know, he puts on the foam body armor and whatnot. The teacher notices that Bobby's there and says, you know, you can't be here. But then Bobby's like, you know, I hate men too, and I hate being a victim. And he tells the story about how he was beaten up in 4 feet dirt. And so the teacher lets him stay. Now, this is where the famous catchphrase comes from. The instructor teaches the class how to use their words to attack the men in their, quote-unquote, most vulnerable spot. So this attacker goes up to the teacher and asks for her purse, and she says, I don't know you, that's my purse, and kicks a guy in the groin. So then she has Bobby go up and try, and, you know, Bobby's like, let go of my purse, like, just very timidly, and the teacher's like, you've got to be more, you know, rough, aggressive, and whatnot. And he's like, that's my purse, I don't know you. And then he attacks the man on the groin. So that's kind of where the term that's my purse comes from. Like, this, you know, there's a handful of catchphrases from King of the Hill that have become like memes, such as like, I sell propane and propane accessories, and yep, and, you know, blah, and stuff like that. But one of the big ones is, that's my purse, I don't know you.
I don't know about you, but I yell, not that I'm kicking people in the balls, but sometimes I just yell this because it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I've absolutely just yelled it for no real reason, just because it was funny. Like, you know, somebody will put down a purse or something or a bag, and I'll just be like, that's my purse! Or something like that. You know, it's just such a meme now. It really is. So yeah, we flash forward to the following day, and Chain bothers Bobby and Connie outside of the school. Chain then starts to fight Bobby again, you know, tells him to eat dirt and whatnot. Then Bobby yells out, that's my purse, which, you know, as you'd expect, confuses Chain. And then Bobby uses that moment of confusion to, well, kick Chain in the groin. Bobby then goes home and tells his parents that Chain cornered him. Peggy is a little concerned, or not so much concerned, but she's like, you know, hey, Bobby, did you confront him and say that, you know, bullies are really just small people on the inside? You know, kind of like the psychological stuff. Hank is just disappointed because he's like, well, I see no bumps. I see no blood, bruises. You ran away, didn't you? But then Bobby says he actually went up against Chain and won the fight. And this makes Hank very happy. And then one of my favorite lines, because it just kind of shows you that that small town Texas mindset of Hank, where he's like, "Oh yeah, that Chain boy must have known all sorts of Oriental martial arts, but you beat him with good old American YMCA boxing," which, you know, it's I don't want to paint everybody in a small town of Texas to be that way, but I would also be lying if I said that that just wasn't a thing in small town Texas, just kind of ignorance around different cultures.
I don't know. I mean, it's a Hank thing to kind of, I feel like a lot of people would be like, they must have known some kind of fighting technique. I believe though Chang is a wrestler, so he's got some. Hank was close. He's got some kind of training.
That's fair. That's a fair point. But yeah, the assumption that because he's Asian, he must know. And then the use of the term Oriental martial arts, but I digress. It's just kind of funny because like, anybody who's grown up in an area like that knows exactly what's happening. I know like people in my family of the older generation will still describe people as being Oriental instead of saying like Asian or East Asian or whatever. So yeah, it's just kind of funny and sad to see that.
I also love that Peggy is the one being like, we use our words instead of our fists. I've seen a lot of instances where Peggy is ready to beat someone down.
Yes, indeed. But just to show more of that little old small town Texas thing, Bobby says that he got detention, and then Hank's really happy. He's like, oh, you got detention for winning a fight? Well, somebody's earned themselves a PG-13 movie. So, yeah, Bobby heads to detention, and, you know, he's walking up to the detention room, detention hall, I don't know what they call it, with Joseph, and Joseph gives Bobby advice that his dad, Dale, gave him on, like, what to do if you go to prison. And he says, you know, find the tallest, toughest guy and beat them up, or you can hang yourself with your pants. And then Joseph just kind of walks away. Bobby walks in, and as he gets to the desk, some of the kids start to surround him, scoot their desks closer to him. So, you know, Bobby feels like he's in a jam, so he decides to take Joseph's advice. He stands up, and he asks, who's the tallest kid in class? One boy walks up, and then Bobby proceeds to kick him in the groin. Another boy walks up behind Bobby, and then Bobby swings his arm back and hits him in the groin. And so now he has, quote-unquote, taken over the detention hall. Bobby and Connie are later walking outside of the school, and they pass what they call the metal shop kids. So I guess this is like the these are the kids that work in metal shop, but they are also known for being violent, but apparently they can be outrun because they smoke too much. As they walk by him, one of the kids asks if Bobby's played kickball today, and then Bobby says no, but he asks if they wanted to play anyway. And of course, they could like, oh, no, we're good. And then they back away. Connie puts together that Bobby must have continued to attack people. And Bobby proudly said, yeah, I have kicked three people in the testicles. And she's like, oh, I wish you were just like, you know, the old Bobby who would play dead or use his humor to get out of these situations. But Bobby's not listening. He's just kind of looking around for another mark. So, yeah, Bobby's got this weird confidence because now he knows how to fight, but not really.
I mean, he's got the one technique, and is that all? I feel like that's all you need is the one technique.
I mean, that's not really fighting, though. That's like if you were to get into a street fight and pull out a gun or a knife. Like, you're not really fighting. You're that's like a cheating rule. Now, granted, I would say if Bobby's life was in danger, then you know. Those kinds of fights, you know, all rules go out the door. But this is just like a high school or a middle school type situation. Like, there was no reason for him to go that low.
I mean, I've been kicked in the testicles before. Not violently like that, but I've been tapped. Like, I've had people's feet tap my testicles, and that hurts a lot. So I can't imagine being full force kicked.
Yeah, it is not fun. It especially if it happens like, yeah, it can like make you throw up. It's just weird, but it's funny because like, Connie is starting to realize that, like, she understands why Bobby did it with Chain, and she doesn't seem to be too bothered by that. But the fact that he did it again, like two more times within the same day, seems to bother her because now it seems like, you know, here's this boy who was, you know, a little bit timid, but also just kind of a peaceful person who probably almost never got into fights. And then now he's getting into three attacks in one day. And I guess Connie also understands that that's not exactly fighting fair either, but Bobby doesn't care. He's drunk on power now.
I mean, he did pick the first fight he did not pick with Chang, but the detention fights, I mean, that's all on Bobby.
Yep, he picked it. He just felt intimidated and thought, oh, I'm just gonna punch some guys in the balls, and that's going to make things better.
I do love that he always says that's my verse.
Yep, he never just hits anybody in the balls. He always says that's my purse. I don't know you. It's like an anime where everybody always yells out their attack before they do it. So that seems to be like his Kamehameha is like, that's my purse. I don't know you. Bah.
Oh, I was gonna say the same thing. If someone hasn't, please someone animate Bobby in like Dragon Ball Z style, charging up and then like saying, "That's my purse. I don't know you."
Yes, that if nobody's made it, it needs to be made. If somebody has seen it, please share it. But yeah, so Bobby is now very confident. He walks inside. He sees the school bully, Clark Peters, and he is bullying another kid, you know, has him against the locker, asking for his lunch money. The whole cliche high school, middle school thing that I honestly have never seen in my life, in real life. That's not to say that doesn't happen. I've just never seen it. But it always seems to happen in media and in TV and in fiction, so I don't know. Bobby decides, you know, he's going to be all vigilante, and he confronts Clark Peters, and Clark Peters is like, oh, what are you going to do, kick me in the testicles? And Bobby's like, yes, I will, but when will I do it? Will I do it tomorrow? And I guess this is the only time he doesn't say that's my purse, because he just says, I might do it tomorrow, I might do it now. And then he punches him in the testicles and says that he's not a patient man. So I guess, I don't know, that attack I'm mixed on. Like, still, you shouldn't be punching people in the balls, but at least he was like standing up for another kid in the process. So, you know, mixed feelings.
He's drunk with power. But I do want him to be the next Marvel hero.
I mean, Marvel owns Fox now, so technically they could do it.
Please. Kevin Feige, I know you're listening. This is what we
also
want.
Canonically, just as a side note, technically King of the Hill is in the Marvel Universe. There is an old commercial from like the 90s, I want to say, or early 2000s, that's like a promo for Fox TV shows, and it shows Hank Hill talking to the Silver Surfer. Many might not remember, there was a Silver Surfer cartoon that had like a, I don't know, like a 12-episode run on Fox back in the 90s. And, you know, Hank is trying to convince the Silver Surfer to run his board on propane and stuff. And then the commercial ends with a propane tank on the Silver Surfer's board. So that, to me, tells me that King of the Hill takes place in the MCU.
Do you think Hank... Now I'm sidetracked, but do you think Hank rewired the Silver Surfer's board to be propane-fueled? Or do you think Hank just slapped a propane tank on the back and was like, a sale's a sale? That doesn't feel like Hank, though.
No, Hank would have tried to find a way to hook it up. I think propane might be more powerful than the power cosmic. But yeah, now after all these fights have taken place, naturally he got in trouble. So he had detention, and then he escalated the situation by attacking two boys in detention and attacking Clark Peters. So now the principal's office we have now we have him being taken to the principal's office, but first we see the Hills walk into the principal's office because it's like a parent principal type situation where he has to tell the Hills about how he's acting up. At the time, Hank is pleased to learn that Bobby's been fighting off bullies and has been standing up for himself. But then the principal calls Bobby in to talk about what he's been doing. So Bobby comes in and he tells a story about his fight, and then he ends the story with how he had to act fast and he kicked Chain in the testicles. Obviously, Hank's horrified to hear this. He is mad that he learned it from a women's self-defense class, because, you know, Hank's like, where did you learn that? And he's like, at women's self-defense. And then Hank's all mad. He looks at Peggy, and Peggy's like, why are you blaming me? You're the one who told him to go to the Y. So yeah, so Bobby's just suspended for a few days. And Principal Moss, you know, pulls Hank aside to talk to him. You know, not as principal to to parent, but as man to man, that he just, you know, he just can't have his boy going around kicking people in the groin. So Hank decides he's going to try to teach Bobby about the belt line and that you never hit below the belt. Bobby is confused because, you know, I mean, it worked. He's like, what do you want? I'm getting attacked. I punch him in the nuts and they leave me alone. Like, you can't argue with results. But Hank's like, you know, that's fighting dirty. You need to learn how to fight properly. So he teaches him to properly box. Hank lets Bobby know that, you know, just like anything, you're probably going to get hit a little bit before you, like, properly learn how to box. So Hank is boxing with Bobby, and Hank's kind of moving around and jabbing at him, but Bobby's pretty slow, and he can't really hit back, and he's getting annoyed. So he gets upset, and he kicks Hank in the balls. And, yeah, we cut at this point, we cut to commercial. So a lot happens here. I don't know. I don't have kids. I don't know that I would be thrilled to hear that my son was kicking people in the balls. I don't know that if you're thrilled to hear, like, my son or daughter did that, unless I had more context. Like, I don't know. If it was like, oh, they were cornered and a knife was to their neck or something, then I'd be like, okay. But like, just because, then I'm like, oh, come on. That's not how you handle it.
I do love when they're in the principal's office and they pull Bobby in, Bobby's description of how it all went down. He's like, then I went left, and then he grabbed me, then he threw me on the floor, and then I stood up, and then I said, that's my purse, I don't know you. And just seeing Hank's reaction as, oh, this is happening.
Yeah, Hank was not, like, Hank, yeah, just to see his reaction change, because at first he's happy, because he's like, oh yeah, he's hearing about, like, Bobby, you know, taking a jab, and dodging, and stuff, like, properly boxing, and then Hank, you know, hears him say, that's my purse, I don't know you. And then Hank, you see his face change, because he's like, what's that all about? And then you see the face of horror when Bobby says, and then I kicked him in the testicles.
That, I love that. And then Peggy's part, where she's like, well, I did take it to the Y to take a self-defense class. She's like, this is your fault. I could point the finger, but I'm not. But I could. That's classic Peggy.
Yes, Peggy. And it was just funny that Hank looked at her like, I don't know, like, oh, you're a woman, so somehow it's your fault that he took the woods class, which in reality, Peggy had nothing to do with anything. Hank was the one that told him to go to the Y. Now, granted, Hank didn't tell him to take the women's class, but, you know, Peggy had absolutely nothing to do with Hank or with Bobby even being in that building, so.
I mean, you gotta be more specific. Did Hank tell her boxing? I think just self-defense, right?
No, Hank did say to take a boxing course.
Well, Peggy's so busy. How is she supposed to remember?
Who knows? Well, Bobby signed himself up from the self-defense course, remember? Because there was a wait list for the boxing course. And the only fighting, I guess, or I guess self-defense course that was there available that he could sign up for that day was the women's defense. And he was like, okay.
And then, about this belt line, I know of it, but, like, can you, like, sweep kick someone? Is that something you can do, or is that also against the rules?
I think, and, like, now I'm not an MMA or boxing person, so nothing I say is canon here, but my understanding is, like, in actual boxing, you never, or at least in American-style boxing, you never hit below the belt. I think in, like, MMA and some other forms of martial arts, you can do, like, leg sweeps or whatever. But Hank seems pretty old school. He seems like the type of person who favors boxing as, like, the ideal form of self-defense. So, yeah, he's, like, he's definitely like, oh, I'm you should learn how to box. And in boxing, you do not punch below the belt.
I also enjoy that Hank has his old YMCA boxing gloves still.
Of course he does. He doesn't get rid of anything. They fight and Bobby kicks Hank in the groin and Hank goes down. We come back from commercial break and Hank's like waking up. So clearly he experienced some level of unconsciousness. We see him on kind of a gurney on the garage floor. EMS has been called out. Hank's friends are surrounding him and stuff. the EMT comes out and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I've palpitated the left testicle and it's fine. I can't find the right one, but it'll probably come back when the swelling goes down. And that whole interaction is kind of funny to me. Just as far as we know, none of the other guys had that kind of reaction, but to see it happen to Hank, it's like, man, how much harder did Hank hit them? But who knows?
Oh, when Peggy asks, because she's like, well, what about the other testicle? That's, I love some Peggy moments. That was a great moment. Then it retreated into him. Oh man, that's, yeah. I feel like that's my nightmare.
Yep. We kick over to the next scene where Hank's like kind of sitting in the recliner, relaxing. Bobby tries to make peace by bringing him ice cream. Hank just takes the carton of ice cream and puts it on his crotch to alleviate the swelling. You know, Bobby apologizes, but Hank ain't hearing any of it, and he decides to punish Bobby by taking away his TV, his games, his ice cream, and then, of course, making him do extra chores. We go outside, maybe a day's passed or something. Hank is with the guys drinking beer as he does, and they're talking about stuff, and then Dale does his Dale thing where he's like, you know, he wonders all the time about when Joseph is going to finally attack him, and, you know, he's prepared for it, and, you know, if Joseph does it, he should do it while he's asleep, but he's been learning how to sleep with his eyes open, and it's making him tired. Then Bill, of course, you know, wishes that he had a son to kick him in the nuts, so Dale does it for him and says, careful what you wish for. And then Bobby is seen picking weeds for punishment. So I love the guys' interaction, because this is like this 2-3 minute scene just shows you exactly how all of them act. Dale, you know, as we mentioned in the last episode, Dale is a little nutso or whatnot. So he talks about, oh, my boy's going to attack me one day, but he's going to also, he better do it at night, but I've learned how to stay up all night or sleep with my eyes open. So, and then, of course, Bill is all pathetic and whatnot. And he's like, oh, I wish I had a son to kick me in the testicles. And, of course, Dale abuses him and kicks him. And they're going to be friends again in the next episode, despite all of this. So
I did think, for a split second, I thought Bill was going to say thanks to Dale for, like, just giving me the feeling of what if my son kicked me in the nuts. But he didn't.
Yeah, it is very, funny. Bobby is picking the weeds. That's part of his punishment. He grabs some ragweed, I guess. It looks like a dandelion to me, but, you know, he called it a ragweed. What do I know? He gives it to Connie, climbs through the window. Connie is concerned about Bobby, that he's been kicking people in the nuts, and that he's even gone as far as to attack his own dad. At this point, Con enters the bedroom, and he is angry at Bobby for attacking Chain, but he's delighted at Bobby for attacking Hank. When Bobby tells Con that he's being punished, Con told him that, you know, essentially he's the man of the house now and he doesn't have to take that. So Bobby goes back inside, he starts playing his Game Boy, and of course it's annoying Hank because Hank said, no video games, you're punished. Bobby is just ignoring Hank's pleas, like, you know, oh, in a minute, I'll get to it in a minute, don't worry, and he's walking away. So Hank gets up, tries to go after Bobby, and he's struggling for obvious reasons because, you know, he's got the groin pain and everything and the swelling. And so as he gets closer to Bobby, Bobby will get up and walk away. And, you know, he's walking too fast for Hank. And so Peggy sees what's happening, and Bobby walks outside. Hank follows him outside. Peggy follows watching. And now Peggy's just getting angry because of how disrespectful Bobby is being. So she goes and tries to steal the Game Boy away from Bobby. And this breaks down into a fight in the yard that just kind of attracts all the neighbors. Peggy finally successfully steals the Game Boy. And so Bobby does the whole, that's my purse, I don't know you, and kicks Peggy in the groin. And she doesn't react. Peggy lets Bobby know that she doesn't have testicles. And of course, Con pipes up, she's bluffing, finish her. But then, of course, Peggy successfully pins Bobby down, gives him a noogie, all that stuff. Hank tells her, you know, let up, and then she walks away. Bobby asks Hank why he is so proud. I mean, you know, somebody else had to fight his fights for him. And then Hank was like, yeah, it's not so nice when somebody doesn't fight fair. And then he also makes sure Bobby knows that Hank can sick Peggy on him at any time. And so now Bobby starts to behave and our episode ends. So yeah, that's like one of my favorite scenes in the end is when Bobby finally kicks Peggy and she just doesn't even react. And she's like, I don't have testicles. And then you see Khan over the fence just yelling, she's bluffing, finish her.
It's great just seeing Peggy be the, I guess, the disciplinary of the group. She's kind of always on like the free side. But to see her on this, like doing her thing, I think she tells like Bobby, like, I would never let anyone talk to my husband that way, let alone my son talk to him that way. I was going to say, that's a great moment. I also love when Connie is talking to Bobby. And he was like, yeah, I kicked my dad in the testicles. And Connie's response is, we've all thought about it, Bobby, but we never do it. Like, we would never do it.
Yes. Many people have probably thought about fighting their dad at some point in their life. But you don't, well, I guess maybe you do. But if you do fight your dad, you at least fight fair and you don't go for the groin. Yeah, this is like one of my favorite episodes. As I say, I mean, we named our podcast after the phrase. It's just so funny and stupid and great. And it's like one of the few times you see Bobby being, I guess, aggressive because he's not really an athletic person. He's not a fighter, anything like that. But yeah, to see him be aggressive and then see him like really have the swagger about him because he's like, oh, now I know how to fight, and people are afraid of me now. It's funny because it's so antithetical to Bobby's character in the show because he's normally like a sweet boy. But yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. I won't say that there's not a lot of catchphrases I yell from King of the Hill, but that's my purse, I don't know you. I love saying that, and it's awesome saying it in a group, because it is a major catchphrase, I feel like, for King of the Hill fans. And then when someone kind of gives you that nod or laughs, you're like, ah, another King of the Hill fan in the crowd.
Yeah. Anybody who, like, you can utter that phrase in a room and immediately tell who the King of the Hill fans are by their reaction.
That, and then there's another phrase I like saying a lot, but I think we might be doing that episode. If not, I'll say it at the end of this whole podcast journey.
Yeah, I think we should definitely save it for when that episode comes up. But of course, you know, Sharon, I'm sure we'll be talking about all of our favorite sayings that have been said that might not be covered in our series. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of quotable moments just from King of the Hill in general, and this is one. One of the funny things I saw when I was doing when I was doing research for this was how the King of the Hill wiki has trivia, and one of the lines literally says, even though women don't have genitals in the same sense as men, a hit to the groin would still cause some form of pain. Thank you very much, Wiki, for telling me that.
Well, you know, they want it because Peggy takes it like a champ.
Yeah, that's true. I guess maybe it's like a PSA. They're making sure people know, hey, you should know that it might actually hurt a woman if you do that.
Yeah, don't kick your mom in the crotch, please.
Yes, that is our PSA for the podcast. Do not kick your mom in the crotch. In fact, don't do that to anybody. That's just very bad behavior.
Yeah, don't fight below the belt.
Yeah, go to the Y, take an actual fighting course, or not boxing, you know, or learn MMA or something. And, you know, if you want to fight fair. The only time you could do that is if your life is truly in danger. Then maybe, okay, fine. But beyond that, no, do not do it.
I will say, though, not endorsing it, but if you do it, then you have to yell, that's my purse, I don't know you.
Okay, I will agree with that. If, like, you find yourself cornered in an alley and you're fighting, you know, you're about to kick somebody, yell, that's my purse, I don't know you, before you do it.
But only if you're in a life or death situation and you have to do that, then you should yell this, that saying.
Yes, indeed. Only in those situations. But yeah, So that covers this episode. We're going to be doing another fun episode next week. We're going to have way more fun with these episodes moving forward. Until then, I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.